Our scripture reading this morning from Acts 2, verse 1 through 4, and then from 14 to 18. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that each and every one of us will clearly understand what God has to say to us today through God's Spirit. My friend, we do love music. And I think we had a great variety in church this morning, representing all the extremes. Have you ever heard, I'm sure you did, heard a pipe organ played by a master organist in a great cathedral or church? I know in some cathedrals in Europe, you can walk in at given times during the week, because that is the time when the organist will actually be rehearsing, but they call it a concert. And you have opportunity just to sit there, to see the beauty of the stained glass windows, and there in the silence, to be taken away into space by the beauty of the organ. My best memories of a huge church that I served as minister in the 70s are still connected with the magnificent sound of its organ, one of the largest I've ever seen or heard. And I remember as we gathered with the church council, as was our custom in those days, you could hear the organ through the doors, swelling and filling that huge auditorium. And that often was my preparation, also inspiration, when the organ sound was heard. Because that organ transferred our hearts and our souls and our minds to higher spheres and gave worship a very unique and special significance. Sound on a pipe organ is produced when the wind passes through the pipe. The process of getting the wind to that pipe follows this path. First, a motor blows air. In the olden days, somebody stood there and pumped the organ. You may have seen those organs. But nowadays, a motor blows air into a reservoir. And from the reservoir, the air moves into the wind chest, which is a box with rows of holes on the top. And the pipes literally stand on top of the wind chest, one pipe to a hole. And to make the pipe speak, the wind must move from the wind chest to the pipe. If the holes connecting the pipes to the wind chest remained open all the time, all the pipes would speak at once whenever the organ was turned on. So the art of the organist is to control the flow of wind in such a way as to produce the magnificent soul-enhancing sounds. Now the Bible refers to God's Spirit as a mighty wind. And today we are asking the question once again, what happened on that first day of Pentecost? For me it is helpful to think of the earliest followers of Jesus Christ in terms of such a magnificent pipe organ. Before that day, God spoke to the followers of Jesus Christ through the life and teachings of the Master. They understood then already that God wanted them to do mighty deeds and to speak about the great deeds of God, not only to their own, but also eventually to all nations and tribes everywhere. So they were something like organ pipes, being taught how to play to God's glory in messages of faith, hope and change. But then things went terribly wrong. After the earthly life of Jesus, following the horrific crucifixion, and so many events that they didn't understand and really didn't expect, they became very silent, very scared. They went into hiding and they cowered in corners in fear of being arrested like Jesus was. Confusing, terrifying. It seemed as if the message and sacrifice of the Master would only live on in their memories from then on. What happened during that first period? During the silence and relative safety of the nights, they tracked each other down and started meeting again, but this time behind closed doors. They were still scared, but they felt the need to be in each other's company. They prayed together and they consoled one another. And they had to be quiet. It was dangerous. They were hushed and afraid. So we could say that the sound of their voices singing God's praises were muffled and heard by no one. No more. You see, the early Christian movement was in crisis, in jeopardy. And soon those who knew Jesus would also be dead. And then the Bible says it happened. The disciples were together, still behind closed doors, only whispering to one another about their faith and hope and the promises of Jesus, that they would not be left behind like orphans, but that He would be with them until the end of time. And then the Bible says, suddenly there was sound like a violent blast of wind. And then over the head of each of them there appeared what looked like tongues of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages. Now let's go back to the organ, the pipe organ. We can see it this way. Suddenly, the master organist stretched out his hands and began to play. Took control over the otherwise useless organ pipes. He touched the keys. The wind began to flow. And the silent organ pipes were silent no more. The Church of Jesus Christ was born. lives were changed. The useless organ pipes remembered the promises of Jesus and understood what he meant. The wind flowed through the pipes, and the mighty symphony of God began to play. And each one of them started to speak and added their own sounds in words, in language, in enthusiasm. The fear was gone. It was not that something came over the disciples. It was as if someone touched the disciples. Maybe it was like the signs that we sometimes see in businesses under new management. On the day of Pentecost, God's people realized that God did not leave them as orphans behind after Jesus was gone. And the wind of God touched God's people and began to move through them. Motivation that lasts comes from having someone greater than ourselves instructing us, encourage us, prodding us, and exhorting us. The disciples were changed because God's mighty wind now flowed in them and produced an orchestrated symphony that was soon heard across the world. The Spirit had come and now dwelt within them. They were excited. They were forever changed. I love the story of a certain young man whose father, living some distance away, had a birthday coming. So he went to the store and he picked a birthday card for his father. And he knew his father, loved his father. And finally, he saw a card that attracted him because of the photo on the front of the card. It was of a rowboat, sailboat beside it. Beautiful, huge lake, a serene scene. And as he looked, he remembered the days with his father and the wisdom of his father. And he wrote a message to his dad on the inside of the card. He said, "Dad, I picked this card for you of the rowboat and the sailboat and the big lake. I know you have the ability to make good choices. So I have a quiz for you for your birthday. Tell me, if you had to get across the mighty lake in the picture, which one of the two boats would you choose? The rowboat or the sailboat?" A few days later, his dad's answer came back. "Well, son, I looked at the picture and I noticed that the rowboat had no engine, but that the sailboat had a sail. So before I can answer your question, I have a question for you. Tell me, son, is there any wind? Because if there is wind, that would be the choice. Having the wind from behind, I can breeze across the lake." Do you understand the difference? Yes, we celebrate the birthday of the church today, day of Pentecost. But the future of this church depends on the same question. The success of our ministry, all our ministry, depends on the same question. Because that's at the core of all Christianity. And the question is simply, is there any wind? Is your life and my life still touched and inspired by the wind of God that started to blow the day when we surrendered ourselves and our lives to Jesus Christ and said, "My Lord, I shall follow You." As we were reminded this morning when our new members joined us in God's service. Some have only memories of the days when the wind used to blow. Oh, I was young then, and it was a joy, and we served the Lord, and we did great things, but the wind has petered off. Wind? Nuh-uh. I'm back in the rowboat now. The wind seems to be gone. Is there any wind? The question of Pentecost 2007. For me in the pulpit, for you in the choir loft, for you in the balcony, for you in the pews. Because if there is no wind, the melody will peter out, and our church shall be no more. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love the way You love, and do what You would do. Amen.